The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Love. Courage. Truth. Glenn Beck.
It's Pat Gray and Jeffy for Glenn on the Glenn Beck program. We've been fascinated by this battle between Donald Trump and Steve Bannon, and have kind of been musing about Trump's interesting way of winning the battles he wages. Yeah. It's really something that I've ever seen anything like it. We've probably mentioned that multiple times during the campaign, but as you look at prospective candidates for next time, if the president doesn't run for a second term, and his wife actually said she doesn't want him to, or he won't. Do you remember that? Like a month or two ago, she was interviewed, and she thought maybe...
That he wouldn't.
That he wouldn't, and she might be okay with that.
Oh, I bet
that's
they
a
would.
Tough job, and that's yeah, it's tough to beat would. In this kind of limelight.
Melania didn't sign up for that.
No, right.
No, she's not. I mean, while she's been great as a first lady, I mean, she's done mm-hmm. nothing to diminish that role, but... It's not the role that she wants to play.
I'm sure it wasn't her lifelong dream.
No, it was not.
To have this kind of scrutiny. Oh, what a nightmare that would be. So, as we look back at the field of 2016, it just feels to me, and I think mostly to Jeffy, that there's a lot of tainted candidates.
Oh, man.
Who probably wouldn't have much of a shot at the presidency at this point. And I guess that could change, because things change dramatically overnight sometimes.
They sure do, but we've gone down the list and we've maybe, mm-hmm. Brought a couple back that might have a possibility. Because when I was first thinking about it earlier this morning, I didn't think there was one that did not get tainted from the Trump scorched earth campaign.
Right.
I mean, not one. Because
right.
I looked at those, I think about those guys now and I'm like, I like them. Mm-hmm. I appreciate them.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate what they're doing today. If they're still in office, if they're doing things, that's great. I would still, I'd vote for Marco. I voted for Marco Rubio once in my life. I'd vote for him again if I had the opportunity. Ted Cruz, I voted for once. Mm-hmm. I'd vote for him again, given the opportunity.
Absolutely.
But not for president.
Well, yeah, I don't know that we'll ever have that chance again, because they must sense that something's changed since last they ran. You look at a guy like Jeb Bush. I don't think there's any way he'd throw his hat in the ring again. He just got destroyed. Chris Christie did a good job of destroying his own political career.
Yeah, sure did.
Guys like Ben Carson, I think, are done, and Mike Huckabee, certainly. Kasich. Would you want John Kasich to ever run again? No. I didn't want him to run that time.
I barely want to see him as a governor.
I didn't, actually. Rand Paul? I don't know.
I don't know.
I think he will run, but has he been tainted a little
bit
too?
I think he has.
I mean, Trump's steamrolled this field. So my thought is maybe an outside chance for little Marco Rubio, although he's been tainted with that. Then you think Bobby Jindal perhaps, and Walker, the guys who got out of it fairly early and missed a lot of the salvos from President Trump.
Yeah, they did, yes.
Maybe have a shot. But I think the guy best suited to run if President Trump doesn't run for a second term would be Ben Sasse, because he was completely out of that.
Yes,
frame.
He was.
Now,
yes,
he's commented on Trump, but I don't think he's been steamrolled.
No, he has not. No, Donald has not tried to burn him at all.
And for the Democrats, I can't even think, obviously they're going to go to Elizabeth
Warren,
and they're going to try to convince Joe Biden to come out of his mothballs. He's been packed away and forgotten.
Right. These guys,
Bernie Sanders, what is he going to be pushing 80?
We're talking about Orrin Hatch retiring at 83, right? At the end of this year. And they're talking about replacing him with a 70-year-old man. Now, look, age is all relative.
Yeah,
age is all relative. I get it. Whatever age you're at, that older age doesn't look as bad as it did when you were younger.
But think about that. Mitt Romney is 70 now. He serves one term. You're 76.
Yeah.
Maybe 77 by the time that comes around. Wow.
Right.
For a second term going into it. And we'll hear if that is the case. Well, 77 is the new 47.
Well, and And look, it is, right? I mean, for sure, probably. 77 is
the, it's not the like new, it used to be. That's
no,
for
not
sure.
even close. It's the new 60 anyway, yes. right? I mean, 75
probably
is definitely 60
yeah.
In today's world. But, yeah. You know, is it worth having in an office?
I mean, look at you. You don't look a day past your mid-100s.
Thank you, I think. Thank you.
And to you, the mid-100s are like... the mid-100s of the old.
Cake, man. I remember the mid-100s, man. I felt like a whippersnapper.
Jim in North Carolina, you're on the Glenn Beck Program with Pat and Jeffy. Hi.
Hey, Pat, Jeff.
Hey.
Thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, just real quick, what really irritates me is the way that they denigrate Trump and yeah. his intelligence. And I was telling the other gentleman that back about 20 years ago, 22 years ago in Miami, I had the... he was negotiating. We had he had a property. I was doing zoning, and it was multifaceted. There were zoning problems, legal problems, the city. He wanted the city to do some things. And he came in, and some of them are called intractable problems that they'd been working on for 9 months, 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
And it was amazing to watch him at work. He broke it down. We walked out of that meeting with legal issues. They even threw a potential lawsuit from a homeowners association in the morning that had just come up. And he handled each of those. And it was amazing to see his negotiating skills. And I remember him looking at the Miami's planning director saying, I don't want this anymore because I don't want the city council to have to vote on it. So we're going to keep it at your level. Are you able to make a decision? And he said no. So Trump and the planning director, after everything was done, left that meeting and went and saw the city manager. And for these media types and the people that work with Trump to say that he is anything less than intelligent, I mean, he went to Wharton School. And I vote for mm-hmm. Cruz, by the way.
I know.
I'm a Cruiser. But let me tell you, I am so happy he made it. And he graduated from the school Penn School of Business, Wharton, which mm-hmm. is an amazing school, one of the best. And to call him
no
anything
doubt.
Less than intelligent, but watching him at the table, he was self-effacing. He broke it down where the other people were trying to complicate it. He moved things off the table. He knew that he was give and take, and he won,
yeah.
and he got everything we needed. Then he turned around and sold the project before he even built it, but that's another story.
Yeah. Well, Jim, I don't think there's any question that there's intelligence with Donald Trump, because you don't become a billionaire by being a moron.
No, you just don't.
And
right.
But I think there are things he just doesn't care about and hasn't paid any attention to. And those things are the things that I was concerned with during the campaign. But you're right. I think he's a smart guy. There's just some of these things were beyond his interest level. And
right.
I think now he's interested. And I think, you know, he's obviously starting to ramp up and understand the things that he must understand as president.
And an example of that is the interview that we played from the SC Cup show, where he was like, we got to the Fourth Amendment, and Trump was like, I got to work.
Yeah, I don't have time
care.
For this.
I don't care about this.
Right.
I got other stuff to do.
Yeah.
He prioritizes, and I believe that when the Fourth Amendment comes up or the Second Amendment, he'll be right on top of it and be prioritizing
Absolutely.
Making
yeah.
good decisions.
So I don't doubt
that
now.
That's what I voted for now.
Yeah. Appreciate. Thanks a lot, Jim. It's tough with Trump because, you know, clearly during the course of the campaign, we found there were weaknesses in his knowledge of certain things that are important when you rise to the office of the president of the United States. But I think since he's been brought up to speed on a lot of that.
Yes, he has. And again,
and he's done a surprisingly good job.
And we also talked about, you know, he'll surround himself with some people that do have the depth of that knowledge
mm-hmm.
and can give him, you know, help him through it, which appears to be the case.
888-727 Beck, Steve in North Dakota. You're on with Pat and Jeffy. Hi.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Yeah, so this has been bothering me for quite a while, that watching Lois Lerner be questioned in front of Congress.
Mm-hmm.
And she's working for... you know, the IRS, but yeah. the U.S. government, Well, you got to swear to uphold the Constitution of the United States. You know, I'm a retired military. And when you're brought before Congress and they're questioning you about your specific job, and if you have to plead the Fifth, because what you're doing on your job may incriminate you, shouldn't you automatically be discharged from your position? I mean, you know, you go back to work. So how'd it go today? Oh, I pleaded the Fifth. Oh, so business as usual, back to work? Like, what?
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
You're a government employee and you're pleading the Fifth? You're doing things that may incriminate you? Bye. That should be a part of your contract.
That's
to plead the Fifth?
Right.
Fine.
Now, people would scream that that's a violation.
I don't have a job anymore.
People would scream about that being a violation, but you don't have a right to keep your job. You just have a right not to be prosecuted for something like that. I think you're right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's neat to know, Steve. We can't talk about that right now.
Brian in Oklahoma, you're on the Glenn Beck program. Hi.
Hey, I kind of think you guys are possibly dead wrong on Rand Paul because a couple of good reasons.
Okay.
First of all, he's got his father's libertarian base backing him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Second of all, he's kind of taking.
That didn't go very far for him in 2016, though. Did it?
Well, we're still behind him. Second of all, he's taken over for Tom Coburn on the kind of government waste thing. He put out a great thing the past couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. We didn't point out this is a ridiculous government waste. Three, he's been like our champion for privacy. He's been taking on this. There's right now they're trying to give a permanent extension to the spying bill, and he's taken a stand against it. And also, he's been our best guy for the economics. He was willing to take a stand on, you know, getting the budget done, and did the stand in where he just, you know, brought everything to a halt. He's the kind of guy. I mean, and I'm telling you, man, if you put him with somebody like Trey Gowdy on a ticket, Trump would have a problem. Or, you know, that was the thing I loved about Carly Fiorina was she was a CEO, so it was CEO versus CEO when you watch them two argue.
And because
Trump's a business guy, and when he's taking on Fiorina, she was head of HP. So it was like in a negotiating table where, you know, watching them two go at it. I love it.
I don't think
make a good ticket there with one of those guys.
You may be right about Rand Paul running again and not being scorched from the Trump campaign, but to run against, you just mentioned the possibility of him, say, running against Trump again? No way.
No, I don't think any Republican would primary Trump. No, I don't think so.
I think he was marginalized by the people who were moderating the debate. I don't think every time he started to make a good point, they moved away from him.
Yeah.
On purpose.
Well,
I was watching it. Those kind of guys were always the last ones to get a good question and the last ones to get any kind of reply.
Yeah. What is up, though, do you think, with the beating he got in his own yard? And he won't say anything about that. He will.
Brian.
I'm a little bothered by that. It's interesting to me that a guy beat you within an inch of your life.
No kidding. I mean, he was really injured.
Yeah, he was seriously injured, and the guy told him why he did it, but he will not disclose that. I don't understand that right now. Not that that disqualifies him from a presidential run. It's bothersome to me because is there something to hide there? I don't know.
Well, where he lives. I suspect the kind of people that he may be, you know, some of his neighbors. Mm-hmm. Let's just say liberalism is a mental disorder, and I'll leave it at that.
Thanks, Brian. 888-727-BECK.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
It's Pat and Jeffy for Glenn. It'll be back bright and early Monday morning. 888-727-BECK. I was really surprised that President Trump refrained from tweeting yesterday.
I know.
About this Bannon thing. That was shocking.
He did a statement.
They did a statement, left it at that. He didn't tweet about it all day. I didn't know if he was even capable of doing that.
Earlier yesterday he lost his phone. I mean, he didn't tweet until late in the morning. I thought there was an issue. So there might have been an issue with them.
I wonder if somebody finally convinced him, you know, tweeting about everything that's on your mind is maybe not the best idea. Maybe. Who knows?
That seems to work for about a day.
Donald Jr., on the other hand, tweeted quite a bit.
Yes, he did.
Steve had the honor of working in the White House, according to Don Jr.'s tweet, and serving the country. Unfortunately, he squandered that privilege and turned that opportunity into a nightmare of backstabbing, harassing, leaking, lying, and undermining the president. Steve is not a strategist. He's an opportunist.
Think about it.
In earlier tweets, Don Jr. said, Andrew Breitbart would be ashamed of the division and lies Steve Bannon is spreading.
Oof.
So maybe he just left the tweeting to his son, thinking, he's taking care of that part.
I think he did.
I think he did.
I think he did, yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that's also... I think that's also, especially after Bannon was played nice, and tried to say that he was still friends.
Oh yeah,
it was
true.
It wasn't
on his radio show yesterday.
Yeah, on the Breitbart News thing for Sirius. So
maybe that helped.
It may have eased a little bit.
It's possible. Donald in Ohio, you're on the Glenn Beck program. Hi.
Hello, Pat and Jeff. How are you guys doing?
Doing good.
All right.
Hey, two questions. First question is, there any chance that, let's say things go well in the next couple of years, we hold the Senate and the House, is there any chance Trump would say, hey, I'm only going to run one term, I'm endorsing Pence to run, and I want the Congress to impose term limits on themselves? Or is there any chance that could happen?
Well, I think there's definitely a chance, he turns it over to somebody else.
That'd be strong.
Yeah.
I think he could ride into the sunset as a, going out with one term and saying, look, I'm going to put a limit on my term, and I want Congress to do the same.
Yeah, and look what thanks for the call, Donald. Look what serving in the office of the presidency has done for other people afterwards. They've increased their wealth exponentially as a result of the presidency. An already super successful billionaire businessman, what will that do for him? If he just does the one term and then turns his thoughts to his own business.
But if...
It'd be huge.
It would be. But
and we had forgotten about Pence, the possibility of Pence.
Well, I was just going to go there.
Vice president?
If Donald does that, what would he call for? So he says, I'm running one term and I'm going to back Mike Pence and he's my vice president. I want him. Does Pence walk in under the Trump umbrella or do people fight Pence like Ben Sasse and some of the people that
are
scorched earth?
He'd be primaried, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Pence would have he'd have an inside track, though, especially if he stays on the good side of Donald Trump.
And Donald does some campaigning for him.
Mm-hmm. Randy in North Carolina, welcome to the Glenn Beck program.
Well, good morning, Glenn Beck. does anybody else know that you're Pat Gray other than me?
There's a few. There's a couple that are paying attention. Yeah.
Wait, what?
There's a couple.
Well, I don't know. I've been listening here going, like, hey, what the? How the? Hey, Steve Bannon, I'm not a fan. I'm a Cruz supporter.
No, I'm not either. That's, yeah.
Well, so many of Beck's fans, Cruz, for a reason, for good reason.
Yeah.
However, and I'm more than pleased with what I'm seeing, but that's another subject. Bannon, he was the devil, wasn't he?
Yes, he was.
Yes, he was.
Yeah.
Is he going to become an angel?
Well, he is.
Is he going to be a...
If he sticks to whatever negative rhetoric he had in the book... for Trump, although he didn't do that last night, so I don't know. As long as he sticks to the criticism in the book, the media is going to love him. Absolutely. That's all it takes, really. That is all it takes.
I remember
with the left.
Comey, exactly. The whole Comey is the devil. Comey is an angel. Is he a devil again? Is he an angel
right.
now? Here comes Bannon, and a lot of conservatives are not fans of Bannon. I know you know that.
Yes.
And, Jabba the Hutt. Or whatever, but he bothers me in many ways. Sometimes, some ways he doesn't. However, I'm not a fan, but I'm very, very curious, and I'm waiting with bated breath to see CNN turn him into, unless they already have, an angel.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for the call, Randy. It's a good observation because if he sticks to criticizing Trump, he's going to be a hero to the left. He'll be on CNN and MSNBC every day. 888-727-BECK. It's Pat Gray and Jeffy for Glenn Beck.
Glenn Beck. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
With Pat and Jeffy, 888-727-BECK. French President Emmanuel Macron has said he's going to overhaul media laws in France this year.
Good.
He's going to fight the spread of fake news on social media. That's
good.
Good for him. Good for him. How in the world do you... Who gets to decide what's fake news and what's not?
He does.
There's your problem. Right there.
Why is it?
Right there.
What do you mean?
When the head of the country is deciding what's fake news and what isn't.
He'll pick a couple people that he believes to smart enough to decide, and that's their job.
Sure.
That's the fake news department over there.
He's openly accused TV channel RT, the Russian Today, station, which is a pile of crap. But he accused them of sowing disinformation about him. He says, if we want to protect liberal democracies... We must have strong legislation. Man, that's the way that oppression
sure
begins
oh
right there.
Oh, my gosh.
Good luck in
so
France.
Bad.
Speaking of France and French, this is incredible news. And I can't believe we haven't discussed it until now. Taco Bell is introducing French fries.
I was just thinking the same thing. I saw the ad. I was like, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, Ted Cruz couldn't be president again. Taco Bell
has
fries.
What about fries at Taco Bell?
And it's funny that you were reminded of that talking about France.
Mm-hmm. Because especially since French fries have nothing to do with France.
I mean, at Taco Bell.
Right.
French fries. They look good.
I guess this has been speculated. They apparently serve this overseas, but they haven't done it here until soon. It's coming
at the end of this month.
They're test marketing it right now in West Virginia and California. And they're going to bring it nationwide. Think of that. So they've already got the menu, the dollar menu items, nice. The range from breakfast tacos to cinnamon twists. Now they're bringing in the French fries that will also come with a side of nacho cheese.
Oh, yeah.
Or you can opt for the supreme, adding pico de gallo beef and sour cream on top.
I mean, maybe.
Oh, my God.
Maybe, but some fries and some nacho cheese and three or four tacos, you're pretty much good.
Is this a great time to be alive or what? 888-727-BECK.
This is all because of the Trump's tax plan.
That's exactly what it is. It's giving opportunities
Thank you.
To businesses to really expand and grow and offer people French fries.
Thank you.
George in Pennsylvania, you're on the Glenn Beck Program.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
Good morning, gentlemen and Jeffy.
Thank you.
What you're seeing here is I think Trump is acting as an executive, somebody who's taken over a new company, as it were. Mm-hmm. He's learning where his tools are, how he can go about getting things done, learning what embedded staff is in place. And I figured that the first 6 months, 8 months were going to be very difficult to figure out what he can do, what he can control directly, what he has to make deals with and all that. But I think it's going to smooth out as it goes here because he realizes he can't have his way 100%. And that's why you're seeing things like the tax plan got passed. But also I think the tax plan got passed because if it didn't, the Republicans were going to be absolutely decimated going into the midterms. And mm-hmm. I don't think that that's going to be the case this time.
Yeah, well, I hope not. Thanks for the call, George. It is possible, though, that it's the tax plan, the tax bill won't be quite enough to offset what everybody expects is going to be a favorable outcome for the Democrats in November. But I don't know. Anything can happen between now and then, and perceptions can change completely in this amount of time. Mike in Utah, you're on the Glenn Beck Program. Hi.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Boy, listening to you talk about the French fries at Taco Bell made me really reminisce for those days of spoons. I miss the spoons. So I think you guys are giving Trump too much credit for decimating the Republican field. You know, the way I see it, what he did was he took out – who did he take out? He took out the moderates. He took out Bush. He took out Christie. He took out Kasich. And he left the conservatives to split the vote. I mean, guys, at the very end, had Marco Rubio not been in Florida or even Ben Carson gotten out before Texas, Cruz would have gotten the super majority that he needed in Texas and picked up more votes. They were fracturing Cruz's votes. Cruz could have beaten Trump if he didn't have 10 other conservatives siphoning votes off. I mean, what did Trump wind up with, 30-some percent of the take every time? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's not a winning formula. I still think that a conservative could beat him if there aren't 15 conservatives taking all the votes.
Yeah, at the end, though, at the end, it was just Trump, Cruz, and Kasich. So,
right.
He lost, and Ted lost that battle.
He did.
He was the only current conservative at that time when that Super Tuesday happened, where he had to win some of the states and couldn't quite get enough of it done. So I don't know. I mean, we underestimated this guy the entire campaign.
Sure.
I just don't want to do that anymore. Cause
we sure did. And look,
we're proven completely wrong.
And maybe I'm wrong. You know, maybe I'm too inside. Maybe I've seen, you know, I've we've watched it. We've covered every angle of all these guys. But when I start thinking of all of them up on that stage again, and even with Carly and Bobby Jindal and maybe Walker, they're done. They're done, man. I don't see them winning over America anymore.
We'll see. Appreciate the call, Mike. Actually, it wouldn't be an option between, let's say, Ted Cruz and Donald Trump anyway.
Because they'd never
challenge a sitting president in the field.
And that's
so he would
the,
have to be completely out of it for that.
And that's kind of the point where if he steps down and whoever he puts his hand on, whoever he anoints.
Which would probably be Pence.
I mean, that's still going to be a tough road to go up against him, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you probably have a better chance against him than anyone else. Well, other than Trump, I mean.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, you still might be able to pull off beating Pence.
Yeah, I don't know. I think, again, you'd have to be untainted. I still believe that they kind of are.
I know. That's what I mean. I know.
Could Ben Sasse beat Pence? I don't know. He'll have to do a lot between now and then.
Yes.
As far as helping Americans understand who he is and what he stands for.
Because then you're up against Pence and Trump.
Yeah. Let's go to Mike in Florida. You're on the Glenn Beck program. Hi.
Good morning, Glenn and Stu. I know who I'm talking to. I know I'm talking to Pat and the company Kick Toy, Jesse.
That's right.
Thank you.
that's a good way to describe Jeffy, the company Kick Toy. I like that.
Yeah, that's what he is.
Yeah, we'll have to put that on his office door.
There you go.
You say that like it's anyway, not already.
I think Cruz could run again. I mean, if Richard Nixon, remember, you won't have Dick Nixon to kick around anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, they did, and they kicked him around pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Cruz could run at some future time. I don't think he could run against Trump or Pence. I don't think he would run against Pence. But I think he has a future. And by the way, you guys said that Bobby Jindal was the one who drank the water during the speech.
Yeah.
That was Marco Rubio.
No, that's another one.
Rubio did it also, but it was Jindal first.
Don't take Jindal off the pedestal. He was number one. Okay.
Okay.
Thanks,
Mike. Just remember Rubio doing it.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Yeah, Marco definitely did it. That was the one where he was speaking from Florida. I got there where he needed that bottle of water and he was waiting for it.
Mm-hmm.
Pat, could I take some liberties with the company Kick Toy if I might?
Sure, absolutely.
Oh, my gosh.
Please do.
What are you talking about? Don't we got to
break
Jesse, or something?
You remember that movie Conan the Barbarian?
I do. Well, I mean, I remember my grandfather taking me to it. It's so old now.
Yeah. Remember the Tree of Woe when they tied him to the Tree of Woe?
Okay.
Yeah, I appreciate you donating your family tree for the for the prop department there.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mike.
Anything I could do for the cause, I'm here for.
The
you.
Company and listener Kick Toy, which is
it has
fantastic.
Turned into that for
yeah,
some
it has.
Reason.
Yes, it has. James in Texas, welcome to the Glenn Beck program.
Hey, how y'all doing this morning?
Doing good.
I think you little off base with the whole Bannon audience going to turn on him. I just don't – I don't see that. I'm not a Bannon fan.
Mm-hmm.
I've been listening to the show the last couple of months because I can't handle Fox News anymore. But you listen to their callers, and, I mean, like this morning, for example, it was one after another. Everybody's all outraged about the Trump DACA thing, you know. I don't see them running from it.
I'm not sure we said anything about Bannon's audience. Have we? Appreciate the call,
no,
James.
Really, yeah,
I don't know that we've. Will Steve Bannon be done with his audience? I don't think we've commented on that. What is happening though is he's being destroyed with the American people by Trump.
Yeah,
I think that is happening. Now, will his audience stick with him? I don't know. I'm not familiar enough with Steve Bannon's audience to know. Or that I wasn't even aware he had a show until there was a news story about what he said on it.
Yeah.
So.
Well, he had the show before he started, before he went with Trump.
Yeah, he's got some kind of relationship with SiriusXM.
Yeah, on the Patriot Channel.
Yeah.
And then with Breitbart.
Right.
And then.
Well, he runs Breitbart.
I think he went away. Well, yeah, he stepped away.
Yeah.
From running Breitbart. And, then he's, you know, the stories all say he's back running it now. So, look.
As far as a radio show, though, no idea.
I mean,
I don't know anything about whether he wins or loses
audience that's there. And maybe he realized, look, you know, if you want to go that direction, maybe you use that in the direction of how he was, playing nice late last night with Donald Trump,
mm-hmm.
realizing, you know, if I go on my radio show and I've been a Trump guy all this time, now all these Trump people are going to be coming.
They'll turn on him.
You'll turn on him fast.
Yeah, that's a good point. Jake in Utah, you're on the Glenn Beck program. Hi.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Doing good.
Hey, my comment was, it's Utah for you. I was telling your screener that. It's if you've lived in Utah, this is slowly turning into California. It's awful. But anyway, to the point, Orrin Hatch, I'm no fan of his. And
me neither.
I'm no fan of Romney either. And living in Utah, I've seen I was contracted and did work on a home in Park City for a gentleman that bought the home from Mitt. It was probably, you know, well, I won't get into what the home value was, but it was
a couple bucks.
Nothing less than ridiculous. But
yeah.
You know, you just generally get the feeling that he can just buy his way into this into this seat, and it's frustrating because, you know, we just don't, it doesn't seem like we're getting the option to pick.
Think Romney's actually officially announced, though, has he? So we're just speculating that he's going to run for Hatch's vacated seat. But who
that's everything you hear in the news here.
Everybody just
expects it.
Is there somebody you have in mind that would be a better choice?
I don't know if Mike Lee has a brother. Hey, one other question. I wanted to ask Jeffy, how do you waltz through life so freely with no shame?
Thanks, Jake.
I was kind of on your side for the whole Utah-fornia thing. And then
I thought that was going to go in good direction for you, but
I know.
No, you can't have that.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
With Pat Gray and Jeffy, immediately following this broadcast, make sure you tune in for my show, Pat Gray Unleashed, on the Blaze Radio and TV Network.
Is that every day?
Monday through Friday, yes.
Really?
Every day, Monday through Friday. Oh, tomorrow we've got kind of a special by popular demand show coming back on Pat Gray Unleashed. We, right before the Christmas break, we did a show of the best audio clips of the year and past years. And heard a lot of good things about it, so we're bringing that back.
We took some
tomorrow
requests.
On Pat Gray Unleashed. Yes,
took some requests. It was really, really a fun, good show.
It was fun.
And, you know, Mike in Utah made a good point, though, and I will. You know, I know he had to get his little stick in on me. It's okay, but before he left that, you know, he makes a good point about not being able to really choose. You know, Orrin Hatch says goodbye, anoints Mitt. Mitt walks into the office.
Doesn't have to be that way. People still have the right to vote for whomever they want.
Right, but who's going to? Who's going to run?
It's sad that we're that kind of sheep.
I know.
That we're lemmings.
I know.
Let's step out on our own and go a different way. It's not a binary choice. It doesn't have to be.
I know. That sounds good.
We need to stop going along with that flow. And that's all we heard during the campaign. It's binary choice. Got to vote for either Trump or Hillary. I don't like either one of them. Nope. Sorry. You got to choose. I don't want to. Sorry. You have to choose. Binary choice.
<I know>.
If we stopped accepting it, it would change, wouldn't it?
You would hope.
If we stopped accepting it. Sharon in Mississippi, you're on the Glenn Beck program. Hi.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Hi.
I happen to think that Donald Trump decided to run for president, and he decided to win a long time before anybody did. I saw a large segment of the Washington Correspondents' Dinner where Obama had invited Trump and Melania to come to that dinner. And then they spent the whole 2 hours, Obama and all the comedians, roasting Trump.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And if you saw
he was
his
really
face,
pissed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you were watching his face as the hour went on, he was by the end of it, he was clenching his jaw and nodding his head.
Yeah, he didn't like
it. He was very upset.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and they shouldn't have done that to him. I mean, he was a guest.
Right.
And, you know, and the first person that told Donald Trump that if he ever ran for president, he would win and she would vote for him was Pat Nixon.
Oh, wow.
Pat Nixon told him that way back
after
they left the White House, so it had to have been like the 80s.
Would have had to have been a long time ago. Thanks, Sharon.
Glenn Beck.